What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Into deep right center field. Smith going to the track and gone. Yastrzemski gets a 3-1 pitch in the middle of the plate. So the Rangers get two hits.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Fail to score. The Royals leadoff hitter, Mike Yastrzemski, puts the Royals up 1-0 with his 12th home run of the season.
That's right. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5, The Fan, on a Tuesday. It's a great day to be Mac or Bob or anybody else that partakes on a Tuesday. If you know, you know. Fellas, how are you doing this Tuesday morning?
Well, a little rainy this morning. A little stormy. All of a sudden, the storm came out of nowhere, but I guess it's supposed to be a quick one, right? It's going to dissipate fast as it moves through the area this morning, but a lot of thunder and lightning, so I'm sure the dogs everywhere are scared to death of what is going on outside, but I think it's still supposed to be a nice, steamy, hot, beautiful day today for everybody to enjoy. One last rodeo for a while, and then it's supposed to drop back into the 80s. This weekend's going to be great and whatnot. Week zero of college football, but for a Tuesday, I'm doing pretty good. Mac, you doing good for a Tuesday? You ready for a long night? Fun afternoon?
Absolutely, always, man. Geared up, ready to go.
Good.
I've been pounded this week.
Told you.
How about all dogs go to heaven?
Yeah, we can watch that. That's a good one.
Yeah, cry at the end.
Yeah, of course it does.
I've got to go. I've got to go to the rest. I'm like, yeah.
So Royals win last night. Now 64-61, climbing further and further ahead of 500, which is what you want to see.
Yep.
Your guy, reincarnated Carl Yastrzemski.
I know.
Mike Yastrzemski continues as he now joins elite company as three home runs in 1 month, leading off a game for the Kansas City Royals, joins Alex Gordon and Johnny Damon.
I saw that, right?
It is August 19th.
That's right. He has three already. He's been here not even a month.
Which is weird how stats work, Mac. So if Yastrzemski hits another leadoff home run, he becomes the most leadoff home runs in a month by a Royals player.
Ever.
If Bobby Witt Jr. hits another home run, he has 100 career home runs. And if Salvador Perez hits five more home runs, he has 300.
Yeah.
So we start off with which one happens first?
I would guess Bobby Witt Jr., I think. I'm going to guess that because five is a lot, obviously.
First pitch of the game tonight to Yastrzemski and God.
Yeah, it could be.
Take that one, Fesco. I was listening.
He gets two more, though, and he ties the all-time record for leadoff homers in a season by the Royals.
There you go.
Let that sink in for a second.
Season.
A gentleman who's been here since the trade deadline, literally after the trade deadline on July 31st, is two leadoff home runs shy of setting the all-time Royals season record for most leadoff home runs.
Yeah.
And he's been fantastic. I mean, and this is, look, again, part of the reason why, as we heard Q yesterday talk about Cags, there's no room at the inn right now. As long as Yastrzemski continues to produce, and he's going to be kind of like that guy at the end, when we look back and go, man, where would we have been without that guy? I always look at Mike Pinnell in the first Super Bowl from a defensive standpoint. I'm like, man, I'm not sure how many great plays Mike Pinnell made, but that guy made a lot of plays. He was really, really good. Ben Zobrist was that guy, obviously, in 15 for the Royals. We got him, and Josh said, that's a luxury, and Ben Zobrist ended up being really, really good. And with Yastrzemski, he's kind of that guy. I didn't really expect a whole heck of a lot out of a 32-year-old outfielder coming in. But by God, he's been fantastic. And I think he's going to go down as that guy if this team ends up making it into the postseason. where would we have been without Mike Yastrzemski? Because he's been great defensively for this team and made some big plays. Mm-hmm. And then obviously from an offensive standpoint, I mean, you get that 1-0 lead early when you're the Royals and you got these guys out on the mound like Waka last night, dealing and doing all that kind of stuff. That's a huge lead right now for the Royals with their pitching staff. And for Yastrzemski to be able to do that right at the beginning of the game when, you know, Texas didn't capitalize on their top of the first inning and get a 1-0 lead real quick, that's breathing room, man. And Yastrzemski has been just a brilliant add for this Royals ball club.
Been fun to watch him in the leadoff spot for sure, and how it's also benefited Jonathan India hitting seventh.
Yeah, my God.
Because it's almost like they switched roles, because Yastrzemski was interviewed last night with Goldberg on the side on the Royals broadcast on FanDuel, and he said, I don't really have any pressure leading off. I'm just supposed to get up there and find something and do something with it. And then you see Jonathan India last night. I think he had like, what, a 110-mile-an-hour ball hit to left. I mean, they were all over Jack Leiter last night.
Yeah, Jack
which was
Leiter
good to
stunk
see.
Last
he
night,
was bad.
Man.
But, I mean, he was, you
he's
know.
Been up and down, though. He's yeah. one of those hot baseball cards, and coming out of Vanderbilt was, like, huge. Oh, yeah. And he's not lived up to anything, man.
It kind of been a journey, not a journeyman, but he
no,
was
I get
a,
what you're saying.
He was a
yeah.
bullpen guy, then a starter, and then it's to me, he's similar to what Brady Singer was for the Royals. He'll have games where he goes out there and it's 7 2/3, 4 hits, 9 strikeouts. You're like, all right,
yeah,
this is Al's son right here. This is who we got. And then the next night he goes out there and it's 3 1/3, 3 home runs, 7 runs, 2
yeah.
walks. You're
and
like,
he's a Bic lighter.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's so, terrible.
But it was good to see that they were on him the second yeah. time through. Vinny hits a homer. Mikel Garcia hit a home run, not off Leiter, but Yastrzemski led the game off with a home run. And you kind of got your wish. It's not 4 games anymore. It's 3.5. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, of course, wins last night in Arizona. But Boston loses, Seattle loses, Yankees don't play.
Seattle got their teeth kicked in last night. I was watching a little bit of the Phillies game beforehand. Oh, my God. Philly's good, bro. They may win yeah. the whole damn thing.
Well, right. This is the same team that was last year. So
yeah,
I mean,
it is true. But, I mean, they're still a really, really good baseball team.
Right.
So.
And but, no, they Boston loses, Seattle loses, Yankees don't play. Royals win. Cleveland wins, but you're 3.5. Mm-hmm. Cleveland 3 out. Really, it's 4.5 due to tiebreakers with Boston and New York. You now, with that win last night, if it does ever get to it, have the tiebreaker over Texas. You just yeah. had to win one of these 4 games. We obviously want 2 more.
Obviously, we want 3 more. Hell,
right. You know? I take it. But you look at what the Royals have done since the All-Star break, and that's kind of the milestone, fellas, here, because they played 28 games since the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. The Royals are 17-11.
That's great.
They've scored 147 runs. They're averaging 5.25 runs a game. This is the number that's astonishing to me. They've hit 43 home runs in 28 games, and they've had 14 multi-homer games. In fact, I think there's only been 2 games in this 28-game stretch where they have not hit a home run, maybe 3, and they're averaging 1.3 home runs a game. So damn near 2 homers a game. They're at least getting 1. This is what we wanted to see the whole time. This is why when people say, why do you root for this team? Why do you think this team has a chance? Because when this freaking offense can do this, Waka wasn't great last night. He was good enough
yeah.
because your offense was good enough. And you win 4-3, you put up the 4 spot, and back in, I don't know what, early June, Royals just put up 4 runs.
Just 4 runs.
And we
yeah.
can do it. And the Royals have put up, you know, multiple runs. They've only, like I said, they've only been shut out 1 time in these 28 games, and that was way back when they played in Chicago. So this team is rolling offensively. They're 3 games above 500. They gained a little bit of ground. There are still a lot of games left to be played in this season, and there are 3 very big games left with Texas. But like you have said yesterday, keep bad teams losing.
Yeah.
Texas has lost, I think, 10 of their last 12 now.
Texas is a dumpster fire, man.
They're done now.
Like if you are a Texas Ranger fan, you got to be frustrated, because that is the biggest underachieving group of baseball players over the last 2 years that I can remember seeing, right? I mean, yep. they should be a good baseball team. They should be challenging for a postseason spot, and they're not. I mean, I've never seen a team just give up like the Texas Rangers have done. And so that's my impression of Texas right now. It's been my impression of Texas for the last couple of years with this team. A lot of big names, a lot of big money, not a lot of good results. That's a losing organization. You need to keep that losing organization losing. Go and sweep them and eliminate them. I was watching the Ranger broadcast last night. Their announcer sounds just like Brockmeyer, by the way. I mean, it's really, really unbelievable how close this guy is to Brockmeyer. But they started the game. They said, this is an elimination series. The team that loses this series is probably eliminated from the postseason. So go out there and just eliminate the Texas Rangers from the postseason and be one less team that you have to worry about in the standings. Because when you have to worry about two, three, four teams ahead of you, it gets confusing. What are you doing every single night? You're watching all these things. Eliminate Texas. Now it's just New York and Cleveland. You don't have to worry about the Rangers anymore.
In Boston,
yeah. But so go in there and take care of business and win these games against the Rangers and eliminate them and be one less team that we have to sit here and worry about. Because I do believe that the Texas Rangers are the ultimate like paper dragon, man. You kick them in the nuts and they're going to fade away really, really fast. And I thought that's what happened last night. That's where that Yaz home run, for my money anyway, was so big, because it was, oh, here we go again with the Rangers. And you could just see them dissipate. You could see them just give up right away. And that's what you have to do if you're the Royals now. Jump on this Ranger team early and they will quit on you.
Yeah, their bullpen is atrocious. But not only that, I thought the most important part last night was Rave's assist.
Yeah, Rave was fantastic.
When that throw home, when they called him out, and I don't know if I've seen Bochy that pissed in 10 years.
Yeah.
Banging his hat on the side of the dugout.
Yeah, big that hat is. It hit the whole dugout.
It's a big melon. Him and Matt Stafford, big heads. But I thought that assist was kind of not necessarily the game, but if we take one of our Chiefs bits and put it into the Royals, that's when you would have sent games over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Because to me in that moment, Waka was kind of laboring. He wasn't really having his best stuff, wasn't striking anybody out. And that play happens. It's the end of an inning. Jock Peterson gets thrown out at home. He's trying to put on some pounds. And, you know, he gets thrown out from left field and the call stands, and that moment is done.
Yeah, it was crazy watching it from a Ranger perspective last night, too, because, they're like, yeah, he's out right away. Then they reviewed it, and I don't know if FanDuel showed the aerial overshot one, and the Ranger broadcast, and even I said, oh, he's definitely safe when they showed that over-the-head one, right? And then, obviously, it wasn't convincing enough, and the longer the replay went, the Ranger people are like, oh, we're screwed. This is not good. The longer this goes, the worse it is for us, and they kept that was a long replay. And there was no convincing evidence. Like, you can't make the case if you're in Texas this morning that was convincing evidence to change that call. So they got that call right by a hair. But sometimes that's all that matters. I mean, go back to Josh Allen getting stopped 1 yard short and how big a dynamic game changer that turned out to be, right? And so last night, that was a big play. And that's something that you can carry through, too, and use that as, you know, a momentum going forward. Because if you don't make that play and you end up losing that game, We're having a different conversation this morning, but you got to give credit to Q. I know everybody, well, the six people on the text line and Twitter, you know,
three now that they're
winning, like to rip on Q. But you mentioned the lineup change with Jonathan Indy. It's been brilliant. Yaz at the top of the order has been brilliant. Getting Rave in there to make that play last night, brilliant. So you got to give the manager credit when things go correct for this team. It's easy to sit around and everybody wants to rip on him and whatnot, but he was only doing with what he could have. And then JJ went out and got him better groceries, and he was able to make a better meal, you know, with all of that. If I come home and I go, here's some, I don't know, some liver, go ahead and make me, the face that he just made, go ahead and make me a great meal. Well, that's what they were giving Q for the better part of the season. Here's liver, go make it good. And now they're giving him steak and a little bit of chicken and a little bit of fish, and he's got the opportunity to make a better meal out there. And look what's happening. They're performing very, very well right now.
Feet on the ground. Good morning, Primals. Liver is king. I don't know why
he's had liver.
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. My buddy was a hunter and his dad would gut his own deer. So I've had like deer liver on a cast iron. It was gamey.
Oh my God.
Oh
Bob
my
hates it.
God. I'm a
badass dude.
How Bob was it? It was terrible, wasn't it?
Effing terrible. Not enough butter in the world, dude. He's like, try it. He cut it up in like little chunks. I'm like, that's not something I want to try.
No,
again.
God, no, no. Now, elk is good. I've never had deer. Well, no, I take that back.
Like deer chili? Yeah, you've never had venison?
One time.
That's good.
Recently, I've had. It was all right.
Tenderloins are good.
That's what we had, like a deer tenderloins. I can't remember, Jen, where the hell was it? We had this
deer. Never had deer jerky?
No, yeah. I've never been to like a gamey deer animal. Yeah. People have chased me away from deer because everybody says, it's so gamey and whatnot. Yeah. I'll eat elk. I'll eat buffalo, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I'd probably eat kangaroo if it was presented to me,
like a bison burger.
Yeah. It's never had deer except one time.
I'll have to make you some venison stew. I always buy deer meat during the fall and winter.
Where do you buy deer meat?
Friends.
Oh, okay.
They have like
because they don't sell it at Hy-Vee. Hey, you want some deer?
No, you just you reach out to your guys that always hunt because you know. Fortunately, I've got friends that hunt to keep using. And I'll send the text like, hey, can I get the turkey or the sausage? And one guy will do deer sausage, and he'll mix it with like cheese and like jalapenos. Yeah. And then he'll be like, yeah, do you want any meat? And then it's like, just like when you go to Hy-Vee and you see the tube of like 80-20 ground chuck, it's venison. And then you'll make chili one day and mix it in there with some meat. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of those acquired tastes, and I shouldn't write it off because I've never had it before. Right. So
no, it's pretty good. No, Royals, again, 17-11 since the All-Star break. 147 runs, 43 home runs with 14 multi-homer games. They continue to do it. Coming up on the other side, we're going to get into some neighborhood stuff because I think this is absolutely ridiculous. Plus, we all have somebody like that. Plus, Mike Florio. I've never known anyone that needs a Tuesday more than Mike Florio. I'll explain on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what you up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back on a Tuesday. We'll get to Bob's threesome a little bit later on today.
A really good threesome. I'm thinking about like changing it as we kind of go through the morning and adding Tommy Pham into the mix of that one as well. We were talking about him in break. There's no bigger poser in sports than Tommy Pham.
Oh, he's tough, dude.
I mean, he is a poser, dude. Yeah. Like, all he does is hold me back, bro. Mm-hmm. And like, every time you look up at MLB Network, Tommy Pham's yelling but never finishing the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he back in the day, remember Nick Schwartz was here, and I used to always say, Nick Schwartz, that guy who starts the bar fight and it gets going and then steps outside and smokes a cigarette and watches the bar fight happen inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's Tommy Pham. He lights the gas and then backs away and everybody else has to clean up, you know, his business. At one time, I would like Tommy Pham to actually throw a punch.
You think Tommy Pham's ever used a line in his life, you ought to see the other guy?
Yeah. Tommy Pham is also one of those guys.
Your eyes effed up, Tommy. You see the other guy.
You see the other guy. Yeah. But he's one of those guys, too, that you look at from an athlete standpoint and expect him to do a lot more than what he's actually produced in everyday life. Like, Tommy Pham, pound for pound, muscle mass for muscle mass, may be the least producing baseball player of all time. I mean, that guy is jacked. He looks like he can rip him, and he grounds out the second.
Tough guy. I will say, you sent a very interesting story last night about your mother's neighbor.
Yeah, my mother-in-law's
neighbor. Are they friends? I have to ask first.
I believe so.
I would assume, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
And then she came over and started to foil through something that was already foiled through?
That's exactly right. Okay. You separate the recycling from the trash for whatever reason.
Glass,
you do
plastic.
This, right? Yeah. Well, glass, technically not. That's that goes right into the normal garbage. So essentially the recycling is cardboard at this stage, right? And some plastic. And
Amazon boxes?
Yeah, right. I mean, again, break down your Amazon boxes, ladies. Come on. I saw a skit on TV or something the other day. Father walked. Except 10,000 Amazon boxes not broken down. I'm like, see, we weren't wrong when we said it. You know, like, women don't break down the Amazon boxes, right?
You're just so chauvinistic.
It's just boxes in general. Men like breaking down boxes for whatever reason. Anyway, so I digress. So my wife tells me this yesterday. She says, yes, for the last 10 minutes, my mother's been standing in her driveway as her neighbor rummages through her recycling bin, taking out what she believes is not recyclable products and throwing them into the regular trash. Who does that?
I mean, someone with severe OCD, which, I mean, I guess I have that, but like to like go through somebody's, that's tough.
I mean, going through your neighbor's recycling bin and picking through stuff that you believe isn't recyclable and then putting it in the other trash can, that's weird. I mean, that's just like, you got to find something else to do. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, we all have these neighbors, right, that do this kind of stuff. Maybe not to that extreme or to that level. But I think everybody's got the neighbor out there that does something so ridiculous every time. You're just like, what are you doing, man? Why are you doing this kind of stuff? But going through somebody else's trash, I remember back in the day, I had somebody tell me that their mother went through Patrick Mahomes' trash because they drove by his house and wanted to see what was in the trash can. Mm. So they stopped by when he was living in his first home and rummaged through his trash cans.
That's fun. That's a little much. I mean, you could live next to my neighbor who every once in a while puts a big rig outside and runs it overnight.
Is that still happening?
He hasn't done it since wintertime. Now they have a trailer outside that they're working on, mm-hmm. and they park all their cars in the street. So it's like where I wish I could have some sort of HOA and not have an HOA. This is where I want to be like, hey, come on.
How many cars are they parking on the street? Oh, that's a lot.
A van, a Bronco, and a Honda Civic.
Yeah. New Bronco or old school Bronco?
New.
Okay.
Similar to yours, but it's the cloudy blue color.
Oh, okay.
With the black top.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Nice.
Yeah, I need him to figure things out.
Move it.
Yes.
Hey, it's like when you live in an apartment complex and the person upstairs wants to play music all night
long. I'm hoping that this guy will connect his trailer to his Bronco and I never see him again.
Yes.
Because he mows shirtless and probably shouldn't.
Oh, no.
Well, the sun's hot and no one needs to see that.
No one needs to see
that. I'm not going to mow my lawn with a shirt off.
Oh, hell no. You don't need to do that.
Barely see me with a shirt on, let alone mowing with it off. Now, if you got... the body of a Maserati, I'd be out there every day, thigh-high shorts, sunglasses on, backwards hat, shirtless.
Right.
Hey, let me hold on real quick. How you doing, miss? Have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
But no, speaking of getting back to action, before we get into Mike Florio's stupid comments, you wanted to see the Royals get through four games back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're 3.5.
Right.
And you want to see Hollywood Brown get back.
Yeah,
Hollywood Brown. What a sight to see that was yesterday.
Thank God he's kind of coming back, because with this Rashee Rice suspension for 3 years, I mean, we're going to need Hollywood Brown, right? I mean, that's what they're talking, a 3-year suspension now for Rashee Rice or something like that, right? So let's just suspend him for the rest of his career. But no, getting Hollywood Brown back is key, but I still wouldn't play him on Friday, right? I wouldn't play this guy until I need to see him in a game, because we're going to need Hollywood Brown at some point in time this year if Rashee Rice is going to miss a mass amount of games that everybody seemingly is talking about right now. So even if it's 6 games, 4 games, 2 games, you're still going to need Hollywood Brown for an entire season. And so I think Andy said it yesterday. They're kind of slow playing this thing with Hollywood Brown. Like, he probably could be back a lot sooner than he has been, but they're slow playing it because they're like, we got to make sure that this guy is healthy and we got to make sure we don't have any setbacks, because injuries are one thing, rushing back and then having the setbacks, that hurts you even more. And so I like the fact that they're slow playing this thing with Hollywood Brown. I'd slow play it with everybody at this time of year.
Right. And I think that, because you bring up the Rashee Rice suspension, again, this will be another year where you won't have a full year of every receiver in the room. Obviously, injuries happen, but sometimes suspensions happen as well as injuries. And last year, Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice both not available together for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, maybe the first 5 games we'll see them together. And I think Hollywood Brown's role is a little bit bigger than we've been trying to talk about, because we talked about what Xavier Worthy's role will be, what the running back duo will be, what they're going to do when Rashee Rice is not available to play on this roster. And I think Hollywood Brown is significantly important because of what he can bring and what he can do. He's not big like Rashee Rice. He doesn't have the same sort of, route tree that Rashee Rice has, but Hollywood Brown is a vet. He's got a little bit of speed. He's got a little bit of, improvisational skill sets when he can get out there. And we haven't really seen Hollywood Brown as a Chief yet.
No, we really haven't.
Very little towards the end of the season last year. We saw one play in preseason last year. I'm with you. I don't need to see him Friday. I would like to see the boys get out there a little bit in front of the home crowd. Kind of get the juices flowing.
They will.
And Andy said the starters will play.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe 2 series is what they'll see. But look, it's crazy to think they were 2 weeks away from the regular season, and getting ready to have a third preseason game Friday night at Arrowhead.
So. Yeah, and I think with the Hollywood Brown thing, I mean, and this may be like a bad analogy, but I think you understand what I'm saying. He's kind of like your stocking on Christmas. Like, you kind of forget about that, but then you open it up, you're like, oh, sweet, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. There's some good stuff in my stocking, right? Like, Hollywood Brown to me is kind of that guy that we've kind of forgotten about, but I think we're really going to count on him this year. And hopefully he's that guy that is the one who steps it up. Like, who's going to step it up when Rashee Rice is gone, right?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's Hollywood Brown, and hopefully he can fill in and, quote unquote, not make us miss Rice when he's gone for the better part of 3 years with his suspension. So,
yeah. And I think that, if you can get him back, it also, insanely gets Patrick Mahomes that much better. And I know that a lot of times that we've always said in the past that Patrick Mahomes makes receivers better. Well, maybe now that he's been in the league so long, it wouldn't be much of a boost if he can have healthy receivers like a Hollywood Brown, like an Xavier Worthy, like a Travis Kelce. You can still do a lot of damage with that and have Rashee Rice. And with the gauntlet that is the first 5 games of the season, obviously Jacksonville's a stinker and the Giants are a stinker, but 3 other games against Baltimore, Philadelphia, and those Chargers in Brazil, mm-hmm. if you can go 4-1 in those first five games, you can really set yourself up. And then you can kind of peel back the playbook that you put together in these last couple of weeks of preseason or of the, preseason with Hollywood Brown incorporated in there with Xavier Worthy. Because I think where you can use Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice to counteract each other, you could do the same with Hollywood Brown, where I think Hollywood Brown still has a little bit of that speed that's respectable and feared, that you could play a guessing game on the outside with Worthy and Hollywood. And with the way they run and as fast as they are, you've got to get it right quickly. And I'd love to see what the quirkiness and the brains of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes can do with those two maybe lined up on the same side, where you're like, looks like Xavier Worthy's going to go deep. He cuts underneath, Hollywood Brown goes the outside. Boom, there's your deep pass. Or strike that and reverse it with Xavier Worthy outside.
I think where they also have an advantage is that there's no tape on Hollywood Brown for the last 2 years, right? Like the league.
He's missed 25 games last 26 games.
But honestly, though, I mean, you have a couple of tail end games last year and a few playoff games that he really wasn't a factor. And you really don't have much Hollywood Brown tape until you go back before he was a member of the Chiefs. And so you don't know what they're going to do with Hollywood Brown. The opponent doesn't know what they're going to do with Hollywood Brown. Nobody even knows if Hollywood Brown is still a speedster type guy like he was a couple of years ago, right? Because we just really don't know where his game is going to be. So I think it's kind of fun to have the unknown with Hollywood Brown right now, because I don't even think we know what to expect out of Hollywood Brown. I know we don't know what to expect out of Hollywood Brown as Chiefs fans, because we haven't had the opportunity to see it yet.
Yeah, I think Dusty mentioned it. Really good crossing pattern, stretching the defense. I think Xavier Worthy will be that Rashee role, like we saw last year, him kind of start to fill in that after Rashee got hurt, those short routes, curl routes, sit in the zone and get at yards after the catch. I think Hollywood's going to be that go deep guy and stretch the defense. The little that we saw at Hollywood Brown, it was clear him and Mahomes had a chemistry. They had a connection. Patrick knew where he was going to be. Part of that's because Hollywood is a veteran wide receiver and has played now with three different quarterbacks and three different styles on three different offenses. He's going to be good on this offense.
He's going to be really good. I think it's going to be exciting to see. Like, I just don't know what to expect. I'm excited to watch him, because as a gentleman told me one time in life when we were having our first child, he said, are you going to find out what the sex is? And I said, probably. He goes, don't. You know, there's not many good surprises in life. I feel like Hollywood Brown's a good surprise for us this year. Like, we know about everything on this team for the most part, right?
Yep.
How much good surprise can you really have with an offensive tackle, right? You're not going to have this guy making plays. He's just going to shut down people. Hollywood Brown is kind of that new weapon that we have this year that we haven't gotten a chance to see. So I think he's kind of a good surprise this year. I'm excited to watch him play.
Should be fun. So some news yesterday with another injury as FAU snapped the hamstring, appears. And Kling had reported on Twitter.
Yeah, the Kling tweet was...
He basically said he kind of knew right away that something was wrong when he came off the field. Like, this ain't good.
Yeah.
And obviously the news yesterday was he was placed on IR, ending his season as a Kansas City Chief going into year three. Not a lot of people happy with Veach, apparently, on X.
Well, they can get over it. They kiss my ass on this one.
Again, we go back to this, and I know that a lot of people can, you know, look at this draft as hindsight and go back and say, well, they could have had Sam Laporta. Yeah, they could have.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the kid from K-State in the draft in Kansas City in the first round with a 32nd pick. And I think, you know, the three picks that everyone will always go back on, three picks that everyone will go back on Brett Veach is Breland Speaks, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Felix and Duke Azama,
mm-hmm.
two of which were taken in the last pick of the draft.
Sky Moore.
Yeah.
Sky Moore, but second round
pick,
first round picks.
Okay.
Even though Breland Speaks.
Okay, so four picks out of
it. So yeah, we'll throw Sky Moore, Breland Speaks.
It's great. Yeah, that's awesome, but it doesn't mean you can't talk about that. You don't talk about it.
But I don't think you can talk about guys being injured, quite frankly, as busts right now either.
Like, FAU's a bust before this injury.
I would say so.
I don't know that answer.
I would say he was tracking that way. He was not like year one, you're like, ooh, we got to, because like, look at it. Totally different guys. Josh Simmons, FAU. It took two practices for everyone to be like, Josh Simmons.
Sure.
We've had FAU for 2 years, and no one has had any sort of glazing towards him like they are towards Josh Simmons.
Yeah.
Both first-round picks. You look at Trent McDuffie, right? All-pro corner. That's a guy that everyone's like, that guy's there. Then you look at Sky Moore, and you're like, every single day, it's like yesterday we spent 5 minutes clowning him, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's okay to bring up bad picks, right? Just like okay to make to talk about bad acquisitions. Like if Yaz sucked and Frazier was terrible and Grechik was absolutely ass, you could be like, ah, JJ failed all three. But then you could, you know, also go look at what we're doing right now with the Royals organization. They're working out, they're doing well. yes, not every time do you, like, not every topic that we have is a banger.
No.
But sometimes we have four that in a week are like, eh, crickets. But you might have 15, and I'll take 15 and four every day. I'll take 15 and two every day as a season. But again, like, this injury, in my opinion, I think we're probably done seeing FAU as a Chief.
Well, I mean, I'm not picking up his fifth year option. He's got one more year to go. He gets this. I mean, that what Kling tweeted yesterday about, like, he quote tweeted Nate Taylor, because I think people were kind of taking this as, oh, injury to FAU, boo hoo hoo type of thing. And Kling said, based on what I saw on Saturday, this is a very serious injury to FAU. And so, like, when somebody gets injured like that and they miss a season, you know, am I ready to write them off? No. You come back, you heal, and you see what we can do. We're so quick in sports to write people off. We love when people fail. That's why this Breland Speaks conversation has been happening for so long in this town, because Brett Veach is basically infallible. He's Teflon Don. He really doesn't make many mistakes. And when he does, oh, they stand out and everybody wants to talk about him, right? I guess we could have won more Super Bowls if Breland Speaks was a different pick, or if Sky Moore was a different pick, or if FAU was a different pick. See, the thing is, for me, I look at the end results, and the end results say, we're doing just fine here. He's doing just fine. Not every pick is going to be a Hall of Famer. Who was the GM last week that said, I should have just drafted all Hall of Famers, right? Would have been easier that way. Not every pick works out. I don't think any general manager in any sport has ever had a 1,000% success rate on drafting players. I think if you could get roughly 40 to 50% of your picks working out in a draft, I think that's a pretty good hit rate. I would venture to say Brett Veach is in the high 80s, low 90s when it comes to percentage of draft picks working out, making contributions, being players, you know, on this team. And that's why I have a hard time looking at a bad draft pick in a vacuum and saying, oh, this guy stinks or this guy's a bust. FAU, to me, we just move on and the next man up and we figure it out and we go from there. And that's kind of the way I've been with injuries on this team for a while now. Chris Jones said at the end of the Kingdom episode the other night that I was watching, as long as we got Pat and Andy, we got a chance to win. And that's what it comes down to. Those are the two guys that are important. It's Pat and Andy. And as long as we have them, we got a great chance to win. And so if Brett Veach missed on FAU or missed on Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Sky Moore or Breland Speaks, oh, well, so what? You know, not everybody's perfect. We all make a mistake here or there. But to say that FAU and to write him off right now, I don't know. I'd like to see him come back next year. I'd like to see him off that hamstring injury. I'd like to see the guy have success. Maybe he won't. Maybe I'll be wrong about that. Again, oh, well, you win some, you lose some. And I just find it really, really not in my taste to run a guy when he made one or two or three or four bad draft picks over the course of a decade. That's just kind of the way that I look at it. But everybody's like that. We're so quick to point out faults and why and wrong and you stink and you did this wrong. Eh, it's the way society is, I guess. Not my cup of tea.
This is why Howie Roseman's better than Brett Veach.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Howie Roseman, they were talking in Philadelphia this morning. They may trade for Joshua Williams. A potential suitor for the Eagles is Joshua Williams.
Five of Howie Roseman's last eight picks aren't even on his roster anymore.
Sorry, what did you just say?
Five of his last eight picks are not on the
first
roster.
Round picks or just...
Yeah, Andre, Derek Barnett in 17, uh-huh. Not on their roster. No pick in the first round in 2018. Andre Dillard is no longer with them. Jalen Reagor is no longer with them. And I don't
vodka Reagor.
Yeah, good bourbon as well. Now
their vodka's off the charts now.
He's kind of nailed it in his last 5 years though. Devonta Smith, Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Quinyon Mitchell, Jahad Campbell.
And Derek Barnett had a game-winning strip sack in the Super Bowl. He was pretty good for them for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Go Bulls.
No, I think it's just one of those things like, yes, they can be 1A and 1B. I'm not going to argue either point. Take your poison. But I'll take the guy with more rings.
Yeah, I will too. I'll always take the guy with more rings and less mistakes.
Surprise from you. You've taken the other take before. I don't think rings. I don't ever put rings on the GM. I'm not going to.
Who gets credit for the rings then? Because you're not putting it on the quarterback anymore. We're not putting it on the GM.
I put it on the quarterback and the coach for sure.
Oh,
mainly.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, GM doesn't mean they don't get credit. Like, but like, I'm not like, oh, this GM has less rings, so he's not as good. I don't think that's the way I judge general managers. That's not the way I do it.
No, that's the way I would.
That's fine.
I look at roster and stability.
Yeah, and I think the Eagles have been A1 on that, just like the Chiefs. They've both been heads there, but I'd say
the Chiefs have done it for a longer stretch.
Just because you criticize a pick from Brett Veach doesn't mean you're saying he's bad. You're just pointing out something. Both things can be simultaneously true. He's 1A or 1B, one of the best GMs in the last 25 years. He's also had some really bad picks. That's okay. The end result's been great. The end result on the defensive line, what we're talking about with FAU, it's been below average. The defensive line, the pressures, the pass rush,
it's been below average. Why they went out and got new guys this year.
Absolutely, and let's hope they kill it. And if they don't, we'll talk about Brett Veach and his ability to scout defensive linemen. I don't think that doesn't mean he's not great. He's amazing. We've talked about his ability to scout defensive backs, his ability to get these wide receivers in the past few drafts. Obviously, Mahomes, his ability to rebuild an offensive line in a year. He's incredible. Doesn't mean he doesn't have misses and we can't point him out.
Yeah, well, I won't point those out because I love him. But I also think this is a perfect conversation of the Chiefs being held to a higher standard than everybody else out there. I mean, I really do. Like, you know, we were talking about the Mahomes thing the other day. If he goes 5,000 and 50 touchdowns and doesn't win the Super Bowl, people will say it's a down season. But if he wins the Super Bowl and doesn't go 50 or 5,000, he's had a down season. I mean, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, like, we become so good at what we do here in football that anything that isn't exceptional, wonderful, and perfect, everybody's like, they lost it. And everybody's just rooting for this dynasty to end. So take what you want about Brett Veach. Say what you want about Brett Veach. I'll take Brett Veach every day of the week.
I think most
over any
would.
Other general
I think
manager
most
out there.
Would, though.
Yeah, and I don't think that, I mean, it's like you said earlier with Q, like the six people on the text line. That there's the same five people on Twitter that are either trolls or they... The thing that I will say where I will give Brett Veach the separation, because you could almost have the same conversation with like Burrow and Allen, right? Like you could have either one, 1A, 1B, if you take Mahomes out of the list because everybody, you know, we just keep him off this conversation where we keep close room. The one thing that I will say that Brett Veach gets a slight edge over Howie Roseman is two of the biggest things Howie Roseman has done are not homegrown and not drafted. He went out and signed A.J. Brown.
And he traded for AJ Brown. He fleeced them. That's part of being a GM.
But that's also, again, if I'm trying to be here, Brett Veach drafted Trey Smith, drafted Creed Humphrey, drafted Nick Bolton, drafted Trent McDuffie, drafted Rashee Rice, drafted Xavier Worthy, and everybody said for a while that he couldn't draft wide receivers. And he drafted two future wide receivers in his team.
Yeah.
And then it went and...
Hopefully three.
You would hope.
Jalen Royals,
right, you would hope.
Seriously.
Whereas Saquon Barkley also, he acquired... but didn't draft. And those are two very big pieces into his offense where he fleeced two very bad franchises, which is fine. He went and bullied two teams in Tennessee and in the New York Giants.
Barkley was a free agent, though. Yeah, I mean, he gets less credit for that.
Less credit for, but the A.J. Brown, I'm giving him credit for.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But he didn't draft him.
No, it's different.
And when we go back to drafting and putting rosters together, yes, they went and traded for A.J. Brown, 100%. They decided to give Derrick Henry a ton of money, and then he ended up going to Baltimore, Tennessee, failed that whole situation.
And Tennessee was in a different spot, too, trying to get picks and change their roster around.
And they took advantage of John Robinson. It was a terrible trade.
Brett Veach, you know, what, like, Sammy Watkins, Juju Smith-Schuster, MVS.
Melvin Ingram. There's a couple deep. Terrell Suggs. Like, a couple smaller.
But they weren't, like, A.J. Brown prime.
Those were, like, adding Yastrzemski at the trade deadline, right? There's no future tied to these guys at all.
Yeah.
Come in here for a couple of weeks and play and see what you can do and see what you can give us, right? Those are no big deal moves.
But at the end of the result, there's two GMs that have been in more Super Bowls than anybody else in the NFL, and it's in the last 5 years, and it's Howie Roseman and Brett Veach.
Now, let's see where the Eagles let's see how sustainable this thing is in Philadelphia. And the reason I say that is because what are they on their third coach now since Andy Reid has left? Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson,
I think
Nick Sirianni, right? Maybe it wears out there with Howie Roseman a lot. I don't know what that kind of relationship is like in Philadelphia, but I'm interested to see what that staying power is and seeing if the Philadelphia Eagles can stay on top and put together a decade long run like the Chiefs. Like, what the Chiefs have done is the hardest thing to do in sports. It's staying on top. Everybody's gunning for you every year, and the Chiefs have maintained that for a decade. I'm interested to see what the Eagles are going to be like this year, quite honestly.
Well, we'll see him here shortly in about 4 weeks.
Yeah,
on
and I'm not trying to hate on Brett Veach, by the way. I think he's amazing.
No one said you were.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Relax.
Yes, I think he's great.
And I think a lot of it has to do with the national narrative that we've been experiencing about this dynasty being over too. Like, I'm over it, man.
No,
I'm just over the negative juju out there about this team right now, right? We got Juju Smith-Schuster. We don't need bad juju, right? We got good juju.
Yeah, we got good juju.
Like, and I just feel like, I feel like this is going to sound so weird, I'm being personally attacked, and I'm over it right now because people want to run down this organization and say the dynasty's over and this is no good anymore and that's no good anymore and looking for reasons why. I'm just sick of it, man. I'm just all over the nonsense of everybody trying to tell us that it's over here when it's not. It's not even close to being over. And so anytime somebody says something negative about this team, I can say something negative about it, but that's my child. You say something negative about my child, it's go time. And I'll actually fight, unlike Tommy Pham.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get into a tough Tuesday or a hot corner here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Got it. Final segment here in the 6 o'clock hour here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you here.
Week zero college football. Playoff baseball starting to shape up.
I'm going to put out an APB real quick. I texted Binkley about 6:15 week zero, and I have not heard back from him.
Need like a wellness check or something?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I would think week zero would elicit a huge response from Jay Binkley of breaking down the games, right?
He might have gotten after it last night after that Royals win. There's nobody that loves Royals winning than Jay Binkley.
Yeah, he may. But, I mean, we're talking, you know, 24 hours roughly till we have him on the show. And I put out the week zero APB, and I'm not hearing back from Jay Binkley on this one.
Don't forget, tonight's your night. If you haven't, I'm sure you can still do it, but it is the football draft experience at Arrowhead Stadium. You can go tonight on August 19th. Time is 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. with special guest Field Yates from ESPN. It's in the Hall of Honor, and you can still get tickets at GEHAfield at arrowhead.com. There are two different types of packages you can buy. You can buy a Q&A happy hour ticket from 6 to 8, access to game day fair, two beer tickets, and a Q&A happy hour at Field Yates. Or you can buy the suite package of fantasy teams of 12 to 16. Full night, access to game day fair, three beer tickets, Q&A happy hour at Field Yates, and then you move to your assigned suite to complete your fantasy draft. That's not tough. That's fun. We have our hot corner segment here, so you guys are on the clock between who's on your hot Tuesday. Mac, who's in your hot corner?
I'll go Brian Robinson because it looks like he's going to get traded. They don't know where he's going to go.
Did you see there's like seven running backs on their roster?
Yeah, it's crazy. And we'll talk about the one who I think's on the come later and on the come at 8:30. But yeah, Brian Robinson, tough Tuesday, man. Doesn't know where he's going to play.
Yeah, they were shopping him because they want to give him that contract.
Yeah, and he didn't play last night in the preseason game because obviously, the team didn't want him to play. He doesn't want to play. So, yeah.
Is it a tough Tuesday for the athlete or not? Let's think about this because
yeah, that's fair.
He's probably going to get traded and sign a new contract, right? Because
yeah, that's
ultimately what it's about, right? He doesn't want to get traded. He wants to get paid. And usually, if you want to get paid, Tyreek Hill the only way. Yeah, exactly, right? I hear you, brother.
I don't want to get traded.
I just want to get paid.
Yeah.
So he's living the life of all of us, right? I mean, I think that's where we all are in life. No matter who you work for or what you want to do, you like where you are usually. You just want to get paid. You don't want to go look for a new job to make more money. You want to get paid where you are. You want people to take care of you, right? You put in your time, you want to be treated that way. And that's where he is. I think we can all relate to that. And so is it a tough Tuesday for him? Yeah, probably because he's going to have to box his stuff up and move and nobody wants to do all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, if he's getting traded, he's probably going to, you know, get a big return for Washington, and then they're going to have to pay him as well.
That's
or
true.
Maybe there is no movement, and he has to just play the end of the contract out. That would be a tough Tuesday.
Yeah.
That would be a tough Tuesday. For me, it is FAU, to kind of pick up from where we were last year, a tough Tuesday because of the injury and because now he just doesn't have an opportunity to go out there and play and show people what he can do. And so I think a tough Tuesday from that standpoint because, again, based on what Josh tweeted, he goes, I knew it was serious right when it happened. Now you're thinking rehab. Now you're thinking how long this could be. It's a tough Tuesday for him because I feel for him because I feel like he probably sees the greatest opportunity I ever had to do my job. I got injured, and now I don't have an opportunity to do that. So I think it's a tough Tuesday for FAU.
Yeah, I think it's a tough Tuesday for the Cincinnati checkbook. Because not only was Trey Hendrickson on the flight to Washington last night and got a front row seat of that defense, again, preseason, I get it. We're not putting everything, you know, in full corner. But from what we were told, right, from the Cincinnati Bengals, is we're going to play a lot of our starters most of the preseason because we're used to getting off to a hot or a bad start. We want to get off to a good start. Their defense is going to be an issue, And
they're in midseason form. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
That, right.
That's midseason Bengals defense right there. They're ready.
Yeah, Aikman said last night they're pretty talented. They looked pretty good this preseason. It's Troy Aikman said.
Who?
Troy Aikman.
No, who is he talking
Bengals
about?
Bengals defense looked really good.
I've not watched all the Bengals moments of preseason this year, but the stuff that I have seen,
it's
not
been terrible.
Not good.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they got... what was it, like 4 plays, 72 yards, touchdown, opening drive. Jalen Daniels just went down the field, scored himself, said, hey, this defense still sucks. And they got their number one defensive end sitting right there, awkward, on the flight to Cincinnati.
Oh,
and that GM now, or that owner now, is going, all right, man, we can't do this.
I mean, like, what are we going to do?
The
right?
1 year we have one of the best, they might have the best offense in football.
They
might have the worst defense in football.
Yep.
And what we know is, from experience, that don't work out.
No, it does
not.
You
might get to the playoffs, but you ain't going to last in the playoffs.
You may not even get to the playoffs by having the best offense and the worst defense in the NFL.
It's similar in baseball to having like one of the most powerful lineups, but terrible pitching.
Yeah, you can't win in October.
You might win in the regular season 90 games because you won a lot of games.
Beat up on the Twins.
But you get in the playoffs, the home runs dissipate, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Aaron Judge, what happens? Like, yeah, well, sorry. You might get to the World Series, you might get to the Super Bowl, but you won't win it. And, you know, I think with Cincinnati, with what they have at quarterback, what they have at wide receiver, they want to get a ring with this franchise because they have a generational quarterback and a generational wide receiver on the same team at the same time.
At the same time.
Damn near the same age.
Chiefs had that too, and they won one ring and then traded them and won two more, right? So you look at just the pattern of things that have been laid out there. And this is, in hindsight, being 2020. We said it in March. Why are you signing both of these guys and not talking about...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
About your defense, you fired your defensive coordinator. You don't have your best defensive player signed under contract, you know, or you do, but, you know, 1 year left, which in the NFL is not under contract these days. And you've got nobody out there that's willing to tackle or make a play on defense. Like, you are really screwing your organization. You're screwing Joe Burrow, and you're screwing your fan base too. Like, you really are screwing Joe Burrow by not doing anything on the defensive side of the football. The Chiefs realized that right after that first season with Patrick Mahomes. They got rid of everybody on defense and made that a defensive football team. The Cincinnati Bengals just keep meandering through life like idiots.
Coming up on the other side, Vern said some things yesterday that apply to the rest of this series, plus another reason to win for the Kansas City Royals here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for those Kansas City Royals.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.